Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Hey, hey, it's episode 7 of Motherhood in Hollywood. Lucky number 7. I'm Heather Brooker. Thanks for listening, everybody. So, a lot of things happening in the Brooker household. First of all, I'm such a dope. I totally, in all my podcasting excitement for episode 6 last week with Allison Holker, I totally forgot to tell everybody to watch me on TV. I was on an episode of Murder in the First. It stars Taye Diggs. But the woman I was in the scene with, though, her name is Layla Robbins, and she's a character actress who has been, you know, doing this for a very long time. She's very talented, and I was super lucky to get to do a quick scene with her at the top of the show. So if you get a chance, it's never too late. Go on TNT Drama, check out Murder in the First, and you'll get to see yours truly playing a British reporter. Ooh, I know, I'm so exotic. It's so funny, when I posted originally that I had been cast as a BBC type of reporter, some of my friends, like my friend Mark, was like, finally, we're taking some of the roles back from the British. There's a huge trend right now in Hollywood where they're just casting everybody but American actors. Like Aussies, oh my god, forget about it. Like, you come over here and you have even the slightest Australian accent, you get your own damn TV show. Same thing with the Brits. They're everywhere out here, and you know what, good for them. Like, I think it's, you know, if you've got the talent to back it up and you can pull off an accent better than we can, then you know, go for it. But it's just, it starts to get a little frustrating after a while because you keep seeing all of these great parts and these great roles, and they're going to British actors and Australian actors. But I'm not bitter, I promise. I'm so grateful and happy for the roles that I do get to play and the parts I do get to play. So everybody take a minute, go to TNT and check out Murder in the First, because I'm on it. Hooray! Really quick, want to say a huge thank you to all of the people who have found Motherhood in Hollywood on Facebook. I see you guys. I appreciate you coming and interacting with me on the things that I'm posting there, and as well as Twitter. A lot of people on Twitter and Instagram have found Motherhood in Hollywood. So thank you, thank you, thank you. A couple of shout outs I want to give to the people on Instagram and Twitter. We want to give a shout out to Danielle Nordman. Hey, thanks. I see your tweets. Mabel's mom, Stephen Fury, Christian Odland.
Hi,
Channing. Oh, yeah. Channing wants to help do the introduction here, you guys. Yeah. Can you help do the introduction? Mommy's thanking everybody for listening and for interacting on Twitter. Yeah. Can we say thank you? Yeah. Thank you all. But seriously, thank you guys so much. I do see your tweets and your Instagram posts, and I appreciate the encouragement so much. So does Channing. We're having a lot of fun here in the Motherhood in Hollywood studio. Mama tests 1, 2, 1, 2. I think we may have a future like podcaster or radio DJ here, guys. So thank you guys so much again for listening. Stinker. My daughter is such a stinker. No idea where she gets that from. We definitely want to keep the fun rolling on here. So I want to get to my interview with Tara today. Tara Perry is my guest today. And she, a lot of parents and moms might know who she is because she is Marina. She plays the character Marina on the Fresh Beat Band, which airs on Nick Jr. And more recently, they've turned that show into an animated series. So it's called Fresh Beat Band of Spies. And it's such a fun show, such a cute show. And I know my daughter really enjoys watching it as well. But there's a lot more to Tara than a lot of people probably realize. You know, she isn't just a kid's show star. She's a very well-rounded actress with a lot of aspirations and a lot of goals. And she's had some great success early on in her career. So we have a really good conversation about how that sort of has changed her life and, you know, where she hopes to be able to take some of that success and catapult it, use it as a catapult into the stratosphere. At least I hope she does anyway, because she's a pretty awesome lady. So, I'm going to stop talking about Tara and maybe start talking to Tara.
Now, do you use your married name, Tara Perry?
Not professionally. No, not in life I do. But in, not, life? In life, yeah.
IRL, yeah. As the kids say.
Yeah, if I give my name to a hostess, it's nice to say my married name. But,
it's nice.
But I get to keep my, you know, yeah, maiden name for acting.
For acting and whatnot. So I am glad you're here because I have a lot of questions, especially about the animated series that you do,
yeah,
Fresh Beat Band of Spies. But I want to talk a little bit about how, quickly, how you guys know, how we know each other. Mm-hmm. We met at a Groundlings show like maybe 7 years ago,
mm-hmm,
maybe 7 or 8 years ago. And did you go on to finish your training at the Groundlings or whatever happened with that?
I did.
Because you're a very funny lady.
Thank you. I did Writer's Lab in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't remember the year because it feels like it was 100 years ago. But it was an election year and we had lots of jokes about that.
Lots of political jokes. Yeah.
And then, you know, it's like a 2-year waiting list for the next class or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So I was on the wait list for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then December 2010 on December 8th, 2010, I got a phone call,
mm-hmm,
and they said, hi, there's a spot opened up for you in advanced lab. And I was so excited.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, when does it start? And they said, January. And I said, okay, here's the thing. I'm getting a phone call tomorrow that's going to let me know if I got a series
show
on Nickelodeon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, so in a good way, you know, in a way, if I don't get the show, I'll be happy to do it. But if not, like,
yeah,
I can't because I'm going to be on television.
Right.
And that's how it worked out.
Right.
So,
so screw you, yeah, and
sorry,
your class.
Sorry, I'm on TV now. no, and then the next January, so it was a whole
like
another
a year,
year
later
went by.
Uh-huh.
They called back and were like, hey, we have another spot. We were told to check back in with you. And that was the year we started going on tour with the Fresh Beat Band. So that I really couldn't go.
Because you're a big star.
Because I do need you like 2 times a week and you gotta write every single day. And
yeah. Groundlings, for those who don't know, Groundlings is a huge source of comedy. It's like a comedy minefield. That's where a lot of up and coming comedians go. They do sketch, they do improv. And when I say comedians, I don't mean like stand up comedians necessarily, although I think, you know, a lot probably do go there.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Would you say that it's still like the premier place for?
I think it is for Los Angeles only, mm-hmm, because that it was the original. You know, in New York, you've got UCB
and
then IO in
Chicago
and
then
LA is Groundlings. You know, that's kind of how I think. But now, I mean, you see people coming
changed
out of. Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
I think it now it's a more of a level playing field, I think, because now you've got Iowa West,
mm-hmm,
you've got UCB, and then also we do have a second city here as well. But so there's a lot of different comedy places
and
here.
And Groundlings is where a lot of the huge SNL players came from.
Yeah, I think because they mainly focused on sketch comedy. I
mean,
that was one of my favorite improv classes,
right,
but specifically for sketch comedy, they just they
is that why you that. When you first came out here, were you like, oh, I want to do sketch comedy, I want to do improv? Was that sort of your focus, or were you more like, I just want to be an actor, like whatever happens?
Definitely just want to be an actor. I mean, like, dream job, if you would, you know, if you asked me 15 years ago, 10 years ago, today, I would love to be on Saturday Night Live. I mean,
oh,
that would just
I
be
know
a dream. So
I
like
know.
You know, when I was researching, when I was moving out here and researching places, and they said that was the spot to go, so
yeah,
I went and did some improv there and then started moving up. It just takes so long. I mean,
yeah,
I even called this summer and I was like,
can
hey,
I still?
I'm finally not on tour for the first time in forever,
yeah,
and we're not filming the live action, so...
What'd they say?
And they were like, oh, well, you get to be on the waiting list for like 3 years.
And
then it rotates and you have to start over. And I was like
from the beginning?
I know. I was like,
no,
from the very beginning? And then they were like, yeah. I was like, but
what
it's like
racket
a 10-year process. Like,
oh, my God.
Don't my college courses count for something? Nope.
No.
So,
not at the Groundlings.
I know. I really want to, really, really, really want to go back. But
oh, man.
Starting
well, a lot of
from
those,
scratch. Because
yeah,
now there's
no
like 5 levels. There's like another level.
Oh, they
now
added a
yeah
level?
Yeah. I'm like,
I always
kind of
felt like they did need something else because it sort of went like improv one, improv two, sketch, sketch, and you're done.
Yeah.
And or you're out.
And
my
level
case
two, even.
Yeah.
And
thanks
even
for playing.
Even level two, like halfway through,
mm-hmm,
you write monologues instead of just
yeah
improv, you know? So
yeah,
it's kind of, you're kind of thrown to the wind if you're not ready for that.
Right.
But.
And Groundlings was so like, that was my first experience with the competitive side of
ooh
like a sketch comedy group or even like a school.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I fully realized, I mean, as I learned as I was going through it, that you have to perform for either the Groundlings themselves to pass into your next level, or your teacher had to pass you,
mm-hmm,
and you had to be good. And like, if you were, you could be good, but you may not necessarily be what they're looking for at the time.
Yeah, if they already had a redhead in their late 20s, they'd be like, no thanks. We've got one. You know, like they really want a little bit of everything. I went to, because I think I repeated basic. I think I repeated intermediate. Mm-hmm. I didn't repeat. Actually, at the time, they were, even if you passed level two, mm-hmm. you had to audition for Writer's Lab. They tried
that's what I did.
The mm-hmm. list was so long.
Right.
And I did that, and I didn't pass. They were like, but you can take all these classes and enter them. So I was like, okay. So I did some writers.
Their workshop-y classes or whatever.
And then the list, like the waiting list was empty. Like,
yeah, they realized they cut that everyone, they were you know? Being a little too exclusive and turning everyone away. And I think, honestly, it put a really bad taste in a lot of actors' mouths.
Yeah.
Because then you've got... Let's see. I think UCB started up at like 2005. I remember it happened. They opened like the year I moved here.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't go there because I didn't know much about it.
Man, I wish I would have started.
Have you seen that ginormous
new building they built?
Oh. I look back on that now and I think, man, that was really foolish of me not to go in there and not to start immediately taking classes and getting to know everybody there because... I could have already been a regular player. I could have, I mean, there's been so much talent that's been farmed out of UCB here in LA. Like, you can't look at a television show, especially not a comedy, that's being made without somebody from UCB being either a writer mm-hmm. on the show or being on the show itself.
Yeah.
So I look back and I think, man, that was dumb. Yeah. You're a dummy.
You're a dummy. Ugh. Of all the decisions.
Hindsight's always 20/20, though, I think, you know?
Yeah.
But I did love, I feel like I did learn a lot at the Groundlings and I still do take classes at UCB.
Yeah. I need to get back in.
You should.
What are you taking?
I just finished level 201 because when I started the level 101, mm-hmm. A short time later I got pregnant and they were like, well, you have a couple years. And I was like, okay. So I got in like right under the deadline to go back in and take 201 so they wouldn't make me take 101 again.
Yeah. I feel like they let me skip. I feel like I feel like I didn't take 101 at UCB.
Oh, that's luxurious.
Yeah.
They totally made me do it. And I was like, I'm in a company. Like at the time I was in Acme's main company.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And they were like, no.
Oh, you're like, please.
I know. I swear. Like, I swear.
I'll give you $250 for me to not take basic.
I know. Please. I'll just give you half. It's the basic. It's. Although it seems like a great idea with learning basic improv and sketch comedy and stuff like that, it's so repetitive. If you've done it enough already in a couple of other places, you just go, it's exhausting and you feel like you're just beating your head against the wall.
So I also feel like a lot of people in LA are told to go take a basic improv class that are like lawyers or doctors. Like they're like team building exercises. Yeah. And like if you're, I've been in a class where half of the students were actors comedians and the other half were just like blue collar, like I'm forced to be here because of my job,
sure,
which is really hard to have fun and improvise with people who are really just need to get back to a meeting.
So I'm waiting right now. I just passed level two.
Yay, congratulations.
Which makes me feel like, I don't know, old, but you're right. Everybody in my level one class, it was a weird mix of like the young actors who are like this one girl was like just turned 18 and so excited to come to Hollywood. And I was like, oh God.
I don't want
to
be the one to crush your dreams, but
let me tell you something. Yeah. Let me tell you something about Hollywood.
Huge cigar, massive glasses. He's like, where'd you get that?
Hey, we're just in my purse.
Yeah.
And then there was this older man who was like easily in his 60s. And he was like, he just didn't have anything better to do.
Yeah.
He just wanted to come and take an improv class. And he was so creepy. All of the girls were like his girlfriend or his wife or his naughty daughter.
Oh, God.
And we were all like, nobody wanted to do a scene with him because it was super creepy.
Here comes Jerry. Right? Always squeezing the asses.
So you know. Yeah. You know Jerry.
Yeah. That's what's hard because like it is so fun, but it also is like who you're doing it with. I mean, I'm in two different improv groups and I've been with those groups.
Who are your improv groups?
I'm in a group at Iowa West called Big Benesy, and we've been performing together for like 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one, I guess about the same time, is called Hammer Don't Hurt 'Em. And that started over at, oh my gosh, the name, Empty Stage Theater.
Oh, okay.
In like Culver City.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've remained together because that theater closed down years ago, and we've remained together and like, we're a little homeless team. We just pop up at the Comedy Central stage or wherever there's an opening.
Yeah.
We do like once a month. And then the Iowa one, we're every Saturday night up in the loft. So
that's great.
Yeah. But when you've improvised with people that long, you, it's like yes, you're still improvising, but I'm like, I know what they're going to say. And it's really fun when they say something that you're like, oh my God, I've known you for years and I would never expect you to say that, you know?
Yeah.
That's what's exciting. So you get to...
It's like a family. An improv team, a really good improv team becomes like a family.
Oh, yeah.
I miss that. I had that at Acme briefly before Acme sort of became defunct and became like a rental space. But I miss that. I miss that connection with an improv group or group of people you've been performing with for a long time. Because there truly is a connection where you make, it's that eye contact you make and you either know where they're going to go or, you know, and it's, it's
one
great.
Of my favorite scenes from one of the Hammer shows was here recently, a couple months ago. And it was a silent scene. It was like a 3-minute silent scene. And you just, it was all looks. And it was like, you know, a couple that was arguing. But like the audience was like, we know exactly what you're doing. Right. You know, and it's so fun. And you can't really do that class two of level 201 at UCB. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
Oh, improv. I do love it, though.
I know. Well, it's good to stretch that muscle.
Absolutely.
And do you take acting classes as well? Or do you just do
improv? Do here and there. It's hard because... You know, it's like weekly, so you pay for a month, and then if you can't make up, and I travel a lot, so it's kind of hard. I was going to start back up in August, but I just booked a film that I'm going to be in Portland for 10
Yay.
Days.
Next month,
so that'll be really fun. So I'm like, okay, fine, September. Mm-hmm. September's a good school month, sure, right? Starting class again. And I've taken it. I like lots of different classes, on-camera classes, on-camera cold reading classes. Mm-hmm. Robert DeVanzio is great at that. I've been at Leslie Kahn for a long time.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Leslie Kahn is a really well-known comedy acting teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And she, like, if you have her name on your resume, everyone's like, oh, okay. Clearly.
You're an
actor. Clearly this person knows what they're doing. Because she just has that sort of a reputation for comedy.
It's great. And they actually have two schools now, one in Hollywood and one in Santa Monica.
My friend Christy, I think, runs the one in Santa Monica.
Oh, cool.
Christy Sexton.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, any audition comes up that's really big, they always have coaches available. And,
that's nice.
Of course, he's an actor and he's incredibly busy all the time because he's amazing. But Todd Stashwick used to be does teaching and stuff at Leslie's. And he'll still do some coaching. And he's on 12 Monkeys and he's incredible. But he coached me on the Fresh Beat audition.
Oh.
Thank God, because he was like, have you watched the show? And I'm like, oh, clips, that's all, you know, as much as I can find, you know, doing research before it. But he had a daughter who watched the show. And he was
that's
be
so
bigger.
Cute.
You think you're too big? Be bigger.
Be bigger.
And I was like, all right, here I go. So
and
thank God for Todd Stashwick.
It is really big.
It is big.
Now the Fresh Beat band had already been in production for a couple of years before you got the part. And you play Marina on the Fresh Beat band. So tell me how that sort of all came to be.
Oh, let's see. In 2010, it was in like October. I got an email at like I was at a rap party and premiere party for my buddy's web series Legend of Neil. We were there to watch the finale. It was this big party, and I got an email at 8 o'clock at night that I had an audition at 2 p.m. the next day.
And series it said first regular. Series regular. Oh.
Yeah, series regular. Please coach. And
hi,
I was like,
heart attack.
Okay, yeah. So I instantly was like, I put my drink down. I was like, okay, that's done.
Well, you
that.
Didn't just keep drinking.
I should have just relaxed. But I called Leslie's and I was like, I need a coach ASAP. Series regular audition tomorrow morning. They set me up with Todd and. I still enjoyed the party thoroughly, but went home, read, printed it all out. I had to sing, I had to dance, and I had to do three scenes. And luckily, you know, you're told to prepare 2-3 scenes, and then you get there and you're like, oh, we're just doing the first one, which
of course
can be great, or like, damn, I really wanted to do the second one.
I know, because you do put a lot of work into it, especially for those series regulars, where you're like, oh, okay, now here's where I'll show them this level, and then I'll make this choice, and then they're like, we're just going to do this one line. Okay.
Thanks. You're like, are you sure you don't want to see?
No. Are you sure?
Are you quite positive? But yeah, so I went in, I sang Katy Perry's Hot and Cold.
Oh my God, cute.
Yeah.
Which
I was like,
is
I need a pop song.
Appropriate.
And like, you know, I was like, I need a pop song and I need something that's like, I was like, it's opposites. It's a kid's song. And then watched the videos of them dancing and tried to mimic it a little bit. I mean, I've been a dancer all my life, so I can pick up choreography pretty quickly. So,
yeah, you do a lot of dancing.
A lot of dancing
on the
show.
Does Marina play an instrument on the show?
She's drummer.
She is the drummer.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's right. I knew that. That is the best.
Yes. Yeah, so
girl drummers are really the coolest.
Yeah. And they really wanted to like mix up the stereotypes of like who plays what, you know?
Yeah. So it's not like you're just like the lead vocals or something.
Yeah. And Tommy, because Tommy who plays Shout, who's one of my dearest friends, he was like, man, when I got this show, like they hadn't picked the parts yet, right? Like I think maybe he went in for Twist and then they're like, actually read for Shout. And Yvette, who's Kiki, mm-hmm. and I think she read for Marina. Like, you know, oh, it's kind of one of those things.
They were still trying
to figure out. Yeah, like doing the map of it. And he was like, I just know I'm going to be the drummer. I'm so excited. Like,
yeah.
And then he was like, man, they're not going to let because the black guy can't be the drummer. Like, like that's too, like, that's too much obvious. Of a stereotype. So he was like, damn, I really wanted to. So he like learned how to play piano for the show.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and my I
was gonna say, do you have drum experience?
Yeah, I got a drum set when I was like 9 years old for Christmas, and I played for took lessons for years and played. I would have loved to have been in the band, but mm-hmm. it didn't work
so
out.
So you were
cheerleading
literally
and musical theater.
Born to play this part. Is what you're telling me.
I was
me.
Like, oh, finally the special skills section came into play in an audition. Like,
honestly,
I think that helped.
That is a huge part of like as an actor's life is because there, if you have those extra skills like you do, there's something is going to come along where you look the part and you have the skills to back it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? It's just, you know, everyone out here is like, oh, it's all about luck. And I'm like, yes, but you have to have the talent to back it up. Like,
right.
Yeah, you could get lucky every single day, but it won't matter if you can't like
if you're not,
show up and
yeah,
play.
You if
know?
You can't actually do the work, for
yeah.
sure.
So, you know, I went, the initial audition was in October. I went callback after callback after callback after callback, producer session.
Do you know who, if you were up against somebody, like who you were up against?
Yeah, there was, I mean,
did, like,
I think
Nancy
they
Kerrigan
saw like
that
500.
Shit?
Yeah,
yeah. Just like take him out.
Who is she?
Is that what happened to the original Marina?
Took her knees out.
Be honest.
Yeah. I mean, she, and like, you know, she did a great, she was great. And this first two seasons, every, you know, she, kids, they still air it and kids still love her. Mm-hmm. But she was ready to move on and do other things. Cause there was like, you know, we're going to tour, we're going to have albums out. And it
oh, man.
Took
I wonder
a
if she just
time.
Like, he's kicking herself in the ass for that now. I would be.
Well, you
because
know,
it's
you,
been such a huge success.
Yeah, but I think, honestly, I think it's because it changed a little. Like, it could, they could have done albums, they could have toured, but for some reason, I think that season three was completely different. I mean, it still followed the lines of the show, but it was different enough that it re-energized Nickelodeon, I think. And then they're like, oh, well, maybe we do want to tour. And I don't know if it would have happened other, you know what I mean? I don't know, but I, yeah. you know, they, someone told me they were like, you really made the network excited to tour. And I was like,
see?
I think because I was just so happy to have a job.
Well, yeah.
I came in and was like, oh my God, work. Yeah.
I'm getting paid.
Yeah.
Woo! Which so is think, every actor's dream,
yeah.
by the way.
So I think the energy of that kind of maybe spurred the idea of touring. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or it invigorated them again. But yeah, but callback after callback, and then producer session, network session. We Skyped with New York, and they watched, and I clogged. I did everything I could.
Wow.
Like, they were like, what else can you do? Can you juggle? And I was like, no, that's the one thing I can't do.
Oh, no. And so then as an actor, you go home and start, like, cutting
like,
your
should,
wrist. Like,
yes!
Oh, wish
should
I
learn how to juggle?
If only I knew how to juggle.
Oh, that would have made all the difference. But,
oh, my God.
But
the
then,
stuff
yeah.
they make us do.
And then the just, test, like, yeah. like, testing is the most stressful
wow.
thing I've ever done, because it was a girl, it was me and two other girls, very talented, very cute. It was me, I'm redhead, blonde, and brunette.
Oh,
and they
wow.
made us all wear, like, Shayna, the old Marina, they had a wig for her
uh-huh.
made for some
oh,
reason.
Oh, really? That was not her real
yeah.
hair?
Well, she wore, I think it was for a stand-in or something. They had it. She never wore it on the show,
uh-huh.
but they had her hair. So they were like, let's all do pictures with this wig, and it just looked crazy on all of us.
Well,
and they were like,
yeah.
Yes. And they were like, never mind. Cause there's like headshots out there floating around with us. Like, we all like,
why would
look.
They put it on you? You already have red hair.
Yeah,
that doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. But okay. when the testing is like, you go in one at a time, like you're all sitting in the same room, and they're
oh
like
God,
giving you snacks and stuff. And you're like, oh, thanks. And they're like, okay, you're up. So you go do the scene, you come back. And then the next girl goes and does the scene, come back. And I went and did the scene and came back. And then like, okay, now it's time to sing. So then we went in one at a time and sang. And then now we're going to dance. And we danced as a group, you know, and then rotated to who's in front. And then
did somebody come in and like give you a dance that's like you had to prepare ahead of time?
Yeah, we
like
had
a choreographer.
Like, yeah, we
in?
Had like
oh,
a session with a, you know, the,
wow.
one of the choreographers, and we worked for like 3 days on it.
Wow.
Yeah, and then they were like, "We'll let you know," and they called me on my birthday, which was really fun.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
so on
so
my
great.
Birthday, I was flying home actually, or flying to Nashville to visit Curtis, who was there on tour, and then I was just gonna go home for Christmas from there.
Yeah,
and when I could turn my phone back on, like right as you're landing, I had a layover. Mm-hmm. I turned my phone back on and I got a voicemail from my agent. And I was like, oh, God, here it is. Like,
oh,
I instantly
no.
was like, I'm going to vomit.
I know that feeling
know.
Is the best, worst feeling. It's like exciting, but also your heart drops.
And like, we
a little.
Live on it. Like, as an actor, like that, you just like,
yeah.
you crave that.
Yeah.
Ugh, we're sick people.
I know. Well, it is truly like Tinkerbell. Like, I need applause to live. Yeah. Is what she said. And yeah. I'm like, oh my God, I do. I need constant validation.
Someone love me. But yeah, so then I listened to the voicemail, and the voicemail was like, hey, Tara, give us a call. So instantly I was like, okay, oh, that God. Didn't sound like bad news.
Sad, yeah.
So when I called, they were like, hold on just a second, and like put other people on the phone call. So it was like five people wow. called in, and they were like, congratulations, you're going to be on Nickelodeon. I was like, oh my God. So then I called my parents, who they were, my mom was shopping. My dad was at a meeting. He stepped out, and I made them like three-way call, told them at the same time. So then I was in Nashville for like 4 days, turned around, came back, started rehearsing immediately.
Wow.
Yeah. And we rehearsed for like a week before Christmas, and then we started filming on January like 4th or something. So, and it was like right into it. We filmed 20 episodes.
I seriously have goosebumps. I love that story. That's honestly like, bam, bam, every bam. Actor's like dream, like to get to that point where you're feeling you've been validated. You've worked so hard.
Yeah.
You did the work. You brought your talent. And there is, you know, the luck factor as well. But like, oh, that's such a great story. And on your birthday too.
I know.
I love that.
Yay.
And so ever since then, you have been dancing your butt off. Yeah. And the show actually stopped production when in 2013?
The live action, 11. We shot 20 episodes for season 3 from January to July of 2011. Mm-hmm. And then that fall, like I remember we wrapped on July 5th and we flew to New York City to do The View the next day. Like we instantly left. And then we went back to... Oh my goodness, was it 2011, the hurricane that was in New York City? Because we went back for like Arthur Ashe Kids Day. We were going to do this big performance, and then the hurricane came and canceled everything. So I left the airport. I was like, I'm leaving, because if we don't leave, they're going to keep us here, because they're going to be scared. They're going to put us on a flight. And I was like, I did not just fly 6 hours to just eat airport pizza.
Well, growing up in Nashville, you probably knew. You grew up in Tennessee, right?
No, Arkansas. My sister lived in Nashville for a long time, so I would go back and forth. But yeah.
So you know about weather, though. Like, weather will trap you no matter where you are, because tornadoes come through, big thunderstorms, whatever. Yeah. They shut it down.
Crazy tornado stories. I mean... That's for another podcast.
The tornado show. Yeah.
So we were flown to New York. We were there for less than 20 hours. Mm-hmm. And Tommy and I were like, we're going to a fancy dinner and going to a show. Like we made a trip out of it. So essentially I was flown to New York so I could pay for a nice dinner and to see Daniel Radcliffe in How to Succeed in Business.
Was that
really trying?
Oh, wait. Was that the one where he was naked?
No, I wish. That would be a very different show.
What was that one like? Equestrian or something?
Equus.
Equus, yeah. I'm just going to make up shows.
Yeah. Equine love.
Equine.
I wish. But I did see that show twice, actually.
Imagine the body confidence on that guy to just be like, here it is, ladies.
Right?
We've seen him as a little kid. Like, now I don't want to see your junk. I mean, maybe I do.
I don't know.
I haven't decided yet.
I don't know. I've seen him because they did the parade, the Macy's Day Parade that year. We did that the same year and we were rehearsing next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, okay. I get it.
Is he short? He's
short. I mean, I'm 5'4", so I'm like, everyone's tall.
So everyone's tall. Yeah.
I think he's probably like 5'8", 5'9", maybe. Mm. Maybe even shorter. I don't know.
For a guy, that's short.
Yeah.
But I'm also like almost 5'9".
Oh, you're so lucky.
Every guy is tiny in this town. Every leading man is like, well, hello. And I'm looking down like, hello, it's nice to meet you, little guy.
Yeah. I because I'm so short, I do get to wear the tall heels, which is nice. But yeah, they used to like build door frames instead of making them like 7 or 8 feet. They would make them, you know, six and a half to make the actors look taller.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
That big imposing cowboy or whatever.
Yeah, who's like 5'9".
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I always hate it when they ask you for an audition. They'll ask you to slate whenever you go in and they ask you for basically your name and your height. And I always sort of feel like I'm apologizing whenever I say how tall I am. Hi, I'm Heather Brooker and I'm 5'8". Oh, I'm so sorry. You know what I mean? Because I know the leading actor is, whoever it is probably like 5'7". Yeah. And they're going to be like, she's a giant.
Yeah. I feel like, because I always wear like heels to audition. Well, for the most part, I guess. Just, you know, you feel like you're at work.
Sure.
And the other day I was at a commercial audition and the other guy across that was like the lead of the commercial was like 5'8" probably. Oh. And I had on little heels, but I was his height. And so I just kicked him off. I was like, I'm just going to do it barefoot.
Yeah.
And they don't see your feet, but like, you know,
right.
Definitely made a big difference.
Whatever. It's strange why that would matter. I mean, I guess
because anybody can be put on Apple boxes. Sure. Or like, you know, they say Tom Cruise wore lifts in his shoes for years. He may still. I don't know. We haven't talked in a while.
Yeah. And, I do like Tom Cruise. I'm a big fan of Tom Cruise.
Are you really?
I am. I feel like, I mean.
Even through
his films. Okay. I'm a big fan of his.
Not his personal antics?
No. No, no, no. Mm-mm. That I stay away from. But like, I'm really looking forward to the new Mission Impossible.
That does look like really a lot good. Of fun.
I loved Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah. And Oblivion was really good.
And Oblivion was cool. Edge of Tomorrow was so cool. I feel like no one saw it.
You know what I miss? I miss old Tom Cruise. I miss like Days of Thunder, Top Gun. Man. I miss that Tom Cruise. And then he started doing that weird shit like with Magnolia. Remember when that was so bizarre? You know, that weird ponytail.
Which is awesome though. I mean, the movie is pretty cool.
But. And I liked Vanilla Skies, but the whole time, this was before I knew he was gay. No. Vanilla Skies, I was mad at Penelope Cruz because I was like, you're a homewrecker. Because that was right after he and Nicole Kidman were getting a divorce and everybody said he was going for Penelope Cruz.
Oh.
So all I kept thinking was, she's a homewrecker. She's ruining this perfect marriage.
See, I've heard that Nicole Kidman had a thing with Ewan McGregor during Moulin Rouge.
Ooh, like, as that's she what spawned should. It. Hello.
I mean, how could you not? God. Every time he opens his mouth on that.
Dreamy.
In that elephant.
I have goosebumps right now.
I know. I mean. He is just.
And he's a great actor, too.
He's a great actor. Talent is so sexy. Yes. Like, talent is so sexy.
Like, you could take, like, just an okay looking guy, but if they're a really great actor.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's really sexy.
Oh, I mean, you take a guy that you're like, oh, yeah, okay, I can see it. Mm-hmm. And then they open their mouth and they can sing. Mm-hmm. Or they play guitar.
Or they dance.
Or they're funny. You're like, oh, I get it.
you're like, whoa, lady boner.
I get it. You know, it's really.
I'm into it.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
Like, you Kevin James? Have you seen Kevin James' wife?
Like, no, but is she, like, gorgeous? Hottie
McHottie 3000. Really? Yeah, and you're like, get it, Kevin. You know what I mean? Like, because he's probably, like, he's even said it. He's like, I'm a schlubby dude. And you're like, have it.
Yeah, but also rich and funny and famous. So there you go. The trifecta of that hot ladies are drawn to.
Yeah.
Dreamy actors. I, Chris and I have a celebrity sandwich where if I've become a huge star, there is a couple of people that I'm allowed to, you know.
Oh, yeah. Like your top, what is it, your five? Your top five. Celebrity.
But I call it my celebrity sandwich because I want two at one time.
Oh, now we're talking. Really I've never dirty. Done this
You've
before.
Never done the celebrity sandwich?
Never done a celebrity sandwich.
So,
but it can be real when you live in LA. Like, it's
it
weird.
It could be real.
Like,
but,
you know, I've met some of the people that I've like been like, haha, they're on my list. And I'm like, oh, God, I've met them. And you're like,
they're right in front of me.
You're on my list.
This could happen.
Yeah. Curtis, is this like, gaunt?
You just text my husband real quick.
Yeah.
mine is Chris Hemsworth because.
Because, ew, he's just.
He is.
Oh, my God.
Do you think he's hot at all?
Oh, my God. He's everything.
He is so dreamy. And the Australian accent is not hurting. Mm-mm. And then sometimes the second spot like rotates like,
as it should constantly.
And Justin Timberlake is in it pretty regularly.
Is he? Because
hello, dance and sing, and
that's
he's
true.
Funny.
Yeah, if you can charming. Dance, you're like, all right.
I know.
If I can see your hips working like that on stage, right? I know exactly.
For a while, I would think Channing Tatum would be in it, but my daughter's name is Channing.
Yeah, you really messed up.
Like,
you should have thought about that. I mean, you should have been like, I love the name Channing, especially for a girl. And she's like, I've met her and she's adorable. She's like Channing. You know what I mean? She's a Channing.
It
she like fits her name.
Personality to a T.
But you couldn't moan.
No,
moan the name
I
Channing ever.
Oh, I really F myself. Sorry, Channing Tatum. We can't ever do it. Or at least maybe I'll call him a different name. Maybe I could work something out.
Yeah.
But he's gorgeous. And like with my daughter's name, actually, she was named after this girl I knew in eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
We were really good friends. And she was one of my best friends. And she had an older sister named Channing. And this girl had like beautiful blonde curly hair. She was incredibly talented. She was an opera singer at like 18. Like, who does that?
Yeah.
And could play the piano. Like she was just... Like I had like a one of those young girl crushes, like I want to be like that, you know, except I don't have any of that talent.
Yeah.
But I just always loved her name. And I remember going and telling my mom, like, if I ever have a kid, I'm going to name her Channing because I think
great.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And my mom, of course, boo-hoo, starts sobbing like, oh, my God, grandchildren. That's the best. I can't wait. So I'm no pressure. So since then, my mom had had little blankets and pillows and like onesie type things made with the name Channing on it.
knowing that I kind of love that name, and I've actually always loved
it. And this is even before.
This is a long time. So then when Chris and I got married, we talked, you know, you talk about kids like you do. And I was like, yeah, if you ever have a little girl, I'd love to name her Channing. And then fucking Channing Tatum comes on the scene with his dance movies, his Step Up and his, you know, whatever. And
abs.
And his abs and his gorgeousness. And I'm like, oh, what do I do? Like, because now for the rest of her life, people are going to go, oh, like Channing Tatum. Because some people go, oh, what do you mean Channing? Like Channing Tatum? Yes. Just like Channing Tatum.
Same thing.
So
same
now thing. I totally have a crush on him, but I can't like verbalize it because people are like, that's effing creepy.
Yeah.
Although I think I just did verbalize it.
You could just you could just call him Mr. Tatum.
Mr. Tatum?
Just call him Daddy.
Yeah. We joke. Chris and I joke about having another kid, and we're like, maybe we should call her Tatum.
Yeah.
And
then we got Channing and Tatum. Get over here.
People, that would not be creepy at all. And then we could completely deny, be like, no, we didn't.
Be like,
Channing Tatum have nothing to do with it.
Like, who's Channing Tatum?
Yeah, who is that?
She's named after Tatum O'Neal.
Yeah, exactly.
And my friend Channing.
Obviously, it makes perfect sense.
Okay, so
Who's in yours if you had, and who have you met that's in your sandwich? That's what I want to know.
I mean, well, Curtis is a singer list. And a songwriter, so he, you know, tours a lot and he gets to, you know.
Curtis is your husband Curtis of 2 years?
Yeah, and it'll be 2 years in October. We've been together in September it'll be 10 years.
Wow, you're not old enough to be with somebody for 10 years.
I know. I mean, I moved out here. I dropped out of college.
Oh, no.
And moved out here.
Don't do that, kids.
Don't do that. Stay in school. Well,
unless you become
pick
huge
up a trade.
After,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. Maybe don't get into $200,000 debt.
Go to air conditioning repairs. Well, yeah.
Yeah, man. We need people with trade skills. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I moved out here at 19. So, okay. And I met
and
him
you guys,
at 19.
You met him when you moved out here?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I've been out here for like 8 months. So.
And he's a musician?
Mm-hmm.
Is and he like a
songwriter?
I was going to say, is he lead vocal? Like he does his own stuff or does he do background stuff?
Yeah, he does his own stuff. When he tours, like he tours as himself and he'll bring a band or he can do acoustic as well. Excuse me.
Cool.
But yeah, but he's been writing a lot too now. So he's like writing with these people who he's looked
writing
up
music
to for
or
years.
Writing like scripted stuff?
Writing music, yeah. Oh, okay. Songwriting and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know in LA you're like, does he write film like, or TV? Yeah.
Does he need any mom type actors?
Yeah. What kind of stuff does
that's
he
the
make?
General response when people are like, oh, I'm a writer. Oh, really? What do you write? I love writers.
Oh my God. But like, so this weekend, like he came in on like the 11th hour of the last album that just came out in June for Third Eye Blind. And
what?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So he worked on that and we've been I've been like spending that like every other day the past 2 weeks with those guys, which I love. Mm-hmm. Brad, the drummer, and his wife, we've been good friends for a long time. So I feel like I've already met them all, but like this past 2 weeks, they've been in Irvine twice because one show got flooded out, Paso Robles, and I shot a music video with them. So
oh, cool.
That should be coming out pretty soon. Children are not allowed to watch
it. No kids.
It's definitely, I get to go back. I always did adult. You know, content, like humor, not like adult content that made it sound like I did
what
porn.
What do you mean? Like porn?
You know, like I did a web show called Movie Maven. And like, if you watch all that, I was actually scared I wasn't going to get the Nickelodeon job because like I cuss like a sailor. Like,
yeah.
I have low cut shirts on, you know.
That's stuff I think about too, because I definitely have a potty mouth. And
yeah.
And then I've got this show I'm doing now where it's just me. I'm myself.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I try not to be inappropriate with the cussing, I mean, in front of my kid.
Sure, yeah.
But I worry that if I am up for like a Nickelodeon or Disney type show, if anybody who ever listens to this, they might be like,
Yeah, I know. It's almost kind of like, it's the equivalent of like, I'm a nurse and my profile picture, I'm like holding a bottle of, you know, vodka, like
or
chugging it, you know?
Yeah,
heroin. So like, you know, people would be like, we can't hire her. She's a party animal.
You wonder
so,
about that because honestly, that is in the industry they say, or, you know, there's a big, I don't know, movement right now where they're like, you know, be an actor on social media, like make sure that you've got your headshots up and that you're presenting that actor side of yourself so that
it's a weird time to be an actor.
Yeah, it's really weird.
So much
because
self-promotion.
They say casting directors look on your social media to see if you're like, fuck Disney or something. Because then Disney won't want to hire you. By the way, we do not
say F Disney. We love Disney.
I'm drinking out of a Disney mug right
See,
now.
See, we're big fans of Disney.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Don't tell my boss it's a Nickelodeon.
Yeah, ooh, well, me.
Mickey Mouse mug.
But it's a weird kind of balance. And I wonder how you do that. Being on a kid's show, but obviously you're not that Marina, that big, bright, everything is sunny, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you are, but.
It's funny because kids, like. You know, our audience is a bit younger. So, like, I would meet kids on tour and they look at you like you are Marina.
Yeah.
A 7-year-old came up and we're like, what's your real name? And you're like, oh, cool. So you get it. You know I'm an actor, you know. And then some parents are like, I don't know. Some parents are a little strange about it. Some people are like, Marina, in front of their kid, they'll call me Marina, like, to keep up the show. That's great. And then they're like, oh, we've watched you on 2.5 Men. I had to, like, make my daughter leave the room. And I'm like,
are they, like, rude about it?
Some have been, yeah, because they're like, stop, they don't understand, like, well, hey, don't let your 4-year-old watch Two and a Half Men.
Yeah,
like, my tits are out, like, I'm just like, I'm making out with Ashton Kutcher.
I need to see this episode.
Oh my god, that's pretty hilarious. I, like, definitely made out with Ashton Kutcher, who was so sweet. Yeah,
oh my
very respectful. But yeah, I, you know,
that's got to be a tough balance because Fresh Beat Band is your bread and butter right now.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And you, but you also as an actor want to show that you can do. Yeah. Other things.
I mean, I auditioned for Masters of Sex for, like, I think, like, 5 or 6 different roles. Like, and I can go in, but then if they're like, hey, we changed the script up, now you have to do a topless sex scene or something.
Or be, like, full nude.
Yeah, and I'm like, I can't really do that right now. Especially under the touring contract and the live show, there's a morality clause. And I legally can't do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's different now because I'm just a voice. So, I'm like, I can actually... I can't show my tits on Master Woo-hoo! Sex. So, you know, it
you
is
hear
like,
that, everybody?
Do it now. Better be quick about it. But yeah, so, you know, I can do more grown-up roles now, which is great.
I wonder if that's sort of what happens with, like, your Miley Cyrus's and your Selena Gomez's.
Absolutely. Because they get out of contract and they go crazy.
Miley Cyrus has not stopped. No, like, she needs to calm down. Like, we get it. You're a sexual person.
Her last album is...
It's really good. Like, she's got a phenomenal voice, but nobody is listening to that because she's so F-bomb crazy.
Yeah.
Like, stop. We get it. You're a rebel. You're, you know, lesbian now. Good for you, but calm down.
Yeah. It's just, you know, I don't think I will
be a lesbian.
I don't think so.
You're not coming out on this show.
Well, I was going to say my sandwich. Katy Perry is in my sandwich.
Oh,
so,
nice.
But
she's great. She's a good looking body. She's a pretty lady.
She's just so pretty. She's so pretty.
So pretty.
But back to this weekend. For the video, there's a shot of me and Chris Carrabba of Dashboard Confessional. He's the lead singer who is just gorgeous. Who I met on tour because his kids are big fans and they came backstage and did the meet and greet and I'm staring at him. I'm like, it's Chris Grubb, freaking out. And then they're on tour with they just finished, but they were on tour with Third Eye Blind. And in the video, they're like, okay, so you go Mac on Chris for a while. And I'm like, you got it. Like,
done. This is hard work.
No acting necessary. You know what I mean? So it's like in LA, you run into people that you're like, oh my God, I've had a crush on you for 15 years. And then you meet them.
See, you run into amazing, awesome people. I see David Spade.
Oh my God, I love David Spade. I would just like start, I wouldn't be able to quit quoting Joe Dirt. Like, I would just be like,
Joe Dirt.
I would be like constantly making.
He is the one guy I see everywhere. I'm like, really?
Does he live in this neighborhood?
No, but like especially when I was doing stuff at Groundlings or whatever, I think maybe he lives somewhere. I don't know. I feel like maybe he lives somewhere. Yeah. But, like, I would go out and I'd be like, why is David Spade at this bar? Why am I at this bar with David Spade? Am I cooler than I realize? I don't know. Yeah. Or is David Spade less cool?
Less cool than I thought he was?
Yeah. It's just weird. He's the one celebrity I've seen everywhere.
That's really funny. I saw, I was at the Spike TV show Tut. It was like a special miniseries, right? Mm-hmm. So I went to a party, like the premiere party for that. And afterwards, it was at the Chateau.
Le Chateau Marmont,
which I'd only been one time. This was my first time to go, and I saw Sir Timothy Dalton, and I was like, yes,
he's
so attractive to me, and I like all of my.
I don't
crushes
know that I would even
are
recognize
like
him.
40 and older.
Oh, what does that say?
I don't know. And my father and my mother and I, we all have a very healthy relationship. So I don't know what that means. But like,
I don't want to get all Dr. Drew on you here, but
yeah, I don't know. I think because like I'm what? Hang on. How old was I when that movie came out?
You're probably what, in college? No.
No, I'm thinking. Sorry, my brain is skipping beats. I went to Rocketeer, and then I was like, no, what movie really made me crush hard on Johnny Depp was Crybaby. And I would rent Crybaby from Hastings Video. Like, my mom was like,
from Hastings. Oh my God.
Later,
that is so
years
Arkansas.
Ago, my mom was like, I can't believe I let you girls like rent that movie like all the time. Like, she let us rent it like every week. So I watched Crybaby 100 times when I was a child and fell in love with Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp.
So, and he's what, almost still? 50 now?
You think Johnny Depp is still sexy?
Hell no. Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes. Robert Downey Jr.? Yes.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you Robert Downey Jr.
I mean.
I cannot give you Johnny Depp though. He looks like he smells like camels and just cigarettes. And BO.
I just
want to clean him.
Oh, that's sexy. That could get sexy.
That's hot.
Yeah.
I like Johnny Depp circa like 21 Jump Street and all that, but not, and maybe Crybaby, but not Johnny Depp now. He's just too weird.
I'd handle it. I'd be like, you just talk weird to me.
So you're
like Alan Rickman. That's a weird one.
That is a weird one.
I would let him read like sonnets 70. To me. I know.
Very slowly.
Very slowly.
So your like top five is old men. Basically.
Yeah. But I also, you know, like little Joseph Gordon-Levitt is adorable. Mm-hmm. Everyone loves Ryan Gosling. I think he's cute. I just don't think he'd be on my 10. If Curtis was here, he'd be like, beautiful. No, you love, and he would like be naming them all. And I'm like, oh yeah, I do like them. Like, who else would, it's
there's
like
just a, so many.
I'm like, all I know is Katy Perry's in there somewhere. She's in the sandwich somewhere. She's there.
Yeah.
But like, who's a hot, who's like someone who's, that I should be saying? Like, I keep.
Who's hot right now?
Like Tom Hardy.
Well,
yes,
Leonardo DiCaprio, older guy. He's sometimes in my sandwich.
Yeah.
Is it just like maturity of them, do you think?
I think, but I've also been crushing on them for like 20 years. like
Matthew Perry from Friends.
Yeah. Like, you know.
He's funny.
He is, and he's adorable.
Yeah.
But like, you know, like Johnny Depp, like I can't believe he's 50.
You know who I think is really sexy is Ed Harris. Is that weird?
No, I'm into it. I don't understand. No, I'm so into it. What movie was he in recently that I watched and like for the first time he's like looking older? Because he's looked 45 for 20
for a long
years.
Time.
You know what I mean? Because
of
the hair. And
he looks,
I feel like I need to open IMDb or something.
He's looked like my dad forever.
Wait, and you said you were into it?
Yeah, I know, right? That's creepy. Mm-hmm. He's got the bald head and my dad was bald. I always thought Ed Harris was really sexy. But I always liked Ed Harris from The Right Stuff. What was it he in recently?
I know. That's why I'm like, oh God, I feel like
that.
It was a movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it did well. It was a well-known movie. Yeah. Was he in like the Avengers or something?
I feel like it's something like that.
It was a superhero movie. Oh my God. If he was in a Marvel movie, my husband's going to kill me because he'll be like, why don't you know that?
You know what movie it was for me? Pain and Gain. When I saw him for the first time, like, oh, he's older. He was in Snowpiercer and Gravity. Were those the ones
that
you were thinking?
Maybe it was Gravity.
But everything before that, I'm like, yeah, super attractive.
Ed Harris.
No, he's sexy. It's just, I don't know. I think the older guys, there's just sexy.
You know,
and men
all
get
the
sexier.
Dads now that are going to be coming to your concerts are going to be like, hey, Marina.
Hey. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's like the wisdom, cause that doesn't necessarily mean anything. Being older does not mean wiser. I don't know. I think it's,
a maturity,
I guess. Yeah.
Supposedly. I don't know.
Men just get better looking as they get older.
I know.
Women, we just get haggard.
Yeah.
And we're just like.
Stretchy.
They get the wrinkles around their eyes. Like when they smile and you're like, oh God, that's sexy.
Handsome.
And women, they're like, ugh, you look old. You know, it's not fair.
It isn't fair. My husband is definitely getting more handsome. And I'm like, oh, I love him so much. I'm just getting whiter.
I mean, every time.
Getting wrinkles and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. Curtis has like. Two gray hairs, like
aww,
two,
and it's so cute.
And I love it. It's like right on his temple, and he's like, "Will you get them?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And I like pull a regular hair out. Now he's gonna know. Now he's gonna hear me and be like, "You don't actually get them." I'm like, "Yeah, sometimes I do, but like sometimes I'm like, got it, because it looks so sexy."
Oh, that's so cute. Well, then as he gets older, your love will grow.
Yeah. Oh, you know Idris Elba.
He's a good one. Gorgeous. Oh. And he's like super into fitness, and so you know he's got a hot body. Are you guys talking about having kids? Do people ask you constantly?
People ask us all the time. We're like the only group in our we're the only couple in our friend group that is married without children now. I do feel very lucky that like when we do have kids, all of our friends, they'll have like I'm like, maybe they'll be old enough to babysit at this point. Yeah. But like, no, they'll definitely have friends.
I just wonder with being on a kid show if you ever feel that extra pressure or if people are, you know.
It's funny. You know what? Touring for 3 years and doing meet and greets every day after shows. Like, I love doing the meet and greets. Like, having a conversation with a four-year-old is hysterical.
I bet they are. And plus, if they're meeting their idols.
Oh, my gosh.
I bet they're just, like, the cutest.
So cute. I mean, they're either screaming because they don't like that you're not 2 inches tall inside of a television.
Aww.
You know, like you're big. Yeah. It's kind of like sitting on Santa's
That's
lap.
That's what Channing
freak
did
them out,
when
you know?
She met Olaf at Disney.
Oh,
she
yeah.
screamed at him and I was yeah. like, ooh, let's walk away.
She's like, I promise she loves you. Bye.
I know.
Yeah. But yeah, but kids will, this, I remember this little kid. He was like, I had fun at the show, but my goldfish died before I came and I had to flush him down the toilet and I ate a cheeseburger for dinner. And I'm like, cool, man. He's like, bye. And you're like, that's what he wanted to tell me. Like,
he could not wait
to tell me.
Oh my God.
One little girl, it was in Dallas, and I was like, did you have fun? And it's always cool when the parents say like, yeah, we saw you last year too. Like before we see the kid, and then we get to be like, wow, look how tall you've gotten. And yeah. then it just blows their little minds. You know,
oh
they're like, they
God.
Remember me.
Oh, I love that.
But I was like, did you have more fun this year? Or did you have fun last year? Did you have even more fun this year? And she was like, I had even more fun this year. And I was like, oh, that's great. Because we have the new songs. And she mm-hmm. said, no, because my mom finally let me have a hot dog. And you're like,
priorities.
Right on. Yeah. But like, as far as having kids, like, it's so fun. I love that. Like, seeing families experience something like that together is so mm-hmm. cool. And then they start screaming and they're like, we have to go. Come on. We have to go. And then you're like,
yeah
I can wait a few more years.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be it's a couple years. Sorry, mom.
Yeah.
I'm probably listening.
Oh, mom. Don't worry, mom. She'll get there.
Yeah. It'll happen soon, but
it happens. Yeah. I am a big fan of taking your time and waiting because there is no rush. We were married for 11 years before we had Channing.
Oh, wow. That's great.
So yeah. And married, not just together, but married for 11 years. Cause we're just very selfish.
Yeah.
And we knew we just emotionally and mentally and financially were not in a place yet to have a kid. And so we were like, let's just wait until we're ready and we know we're ready. I think he was ready a little bit before I was. And then we finally were both on the same page and we're like, fucking, let's do this.
Let's get pregnant.
Yeah.
Also, as an actor, you're an actor. So it's hard to like...
There is that,
when
like,
do you plan your pregnancy around pilot season?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's
there
like,
are women who
there's
do
no
that.
Good time. Yeah, there's just no
or around
good
episodic
time.
Season, like in the fall.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, women do that.
I mean, the goal would be get on a show, mm-hmm. you get picked up for a season two,
sure.
and you're like, get pregnant.
And now
like,
I'm pregnant.
Yeah,
yep.
Like you're under contract. Yep. I can't be fired. Do it now. Like, I feel like the last 5 years, I'm finally into the age that I can play, like, the age I actually am. Like, now I can
be... You still look so young, though.
Oh,
I don't know. I don't know what age you think you want to play, but you still have such a great young look that you're going to work for, like, ever.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Do you hear that, casting?
Do you hear that, Los Angeles?
I feel like the type of comedy I do, like... Mm-hmm. Like, if you put, you know, 5 years ago, they'd send me in for, like, high school or college stuff. And I'm like, oh, I just feel like my humor is, like, not smarter than that, but just, like, a little older. Like, I feel like... Like, Two and a Half Men was so fun, and it was so
Is that the kind of
easy.
Show you want to do, or, like, more like a single camera, The Office type of show? Or do you feel like because you have such a big, broad...
Man, I would die to be comedy. On a multicam. Like, that, I love a good
That's
sitcom.
That's the dream.
Yeah, and you know, they're not around as much anymore, mm-hmm. but I love sitcom.
Because it's like, and I talked about this with one of my other guests, it really is the best of both worlds.
Oh, yeah.
Because you get that instant live audience reaction like you're on stage, but then you also get that performance for the camera.
Absolutely.
And
it
it's a Monday through Friday, you know, deal.
So gratifying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And it's like a 9 to 5.
Right.
But you work late on Thursdays and Fridays.
Right.
Or whatever
exactly.
your shoot day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And doing the 2 and a Half Men, I was like, oh, my God, this is such a tease. But it also made it felt really good because I was like, yep, this is right. Like I didn't
was it,
doubt.
It was validating for
Very
you
validating.
To know that that's
yeah.
what you want to do.
Yeah.
That's
it was
great.
Really cool because then, you know, like you do the take 3 times or whatever and then they're like, give us a second. And the writers all huddle together.
Yeah.
They're talking, they're making up new jokes on the fly. Mm-hmm. And then the director of the episode, oh my gosh, Jamie Widows. I think that, yeah. Mm-hmm. He came up and he was like, hey, we wrote you something else. And like as a guest star, I was like,
okay.
You know, and like they would give me and they were like, and then just improvise or like do this line and then we'll do this line. And that was so gratifying. Like
I love that.
And the audience is there. My family was here at the time, so they got to see it. They just like worked out nicely. But like having them in the audience and having all 4 cameras going and like Oh, man. It feels like theater, and then it feels like TV.
TV, yeah. It is a really just the perfect combination.
So that's what I'll be doing. That's what I'll be doing.
We're just going to put that out there right now.
I mean, single cam stuff is so fun, and I love the subtlety of it. And, like, actually anymore, it doesn't have to be subtle. I mean, when The Office, I mean, I guess the British Office really started, but, like, even...
Yeah, The Office really kicked off that single camera.
Yeah, and that
feel.
God, I love Parks and Rec. My God, I love that show.
I'm so sad that's gone. I know, me too. It was such a good show.
And it's a little, it's just a little more subtle. The looks to the camera, you know, the like they're not as big. But then you've got shows like, you know, Modern Family has big gags and physical gags. Yeah, but it's, technically, it's a single cam. You know? So I think it's constantly evolving. I mean, I think people are constantly, not wanting a new thing, but like just want to be entertained.
Yeah,
that's why I think sitcoms are great because like. In a time that, you know, not everything is all hunky-dory, sitcoms are always there.
Yeah.
Comedy is always there for you.
That's true. And comedy is subjective over the years. That's why I think people find their taste either lean towards the Chuck Lorre type shows. Mm-hmm. Like, is Mom a Chuck Lorre show? I don't know. But, like, Two and a Half Men is one, Big Bang Theory, all that stuff. I've never watched an episode of Big Bang Theory, but it is one of the biggest TV shows.
Yeah. I mean, and then, you know, you look at, like, the who's watching what, and it's, like, the Midwest, like, watches a certain type of television. Mm-hmm. The West Coast watches a certain type, and the East Coast watches a certain type. And it's, I think it's all, like, where you're born and raised, what you do. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's easy for people to come home and just, like, veg out after a 9 to 5, which, you know.
Yeah. Where they have a funny show that has like Mike and Molly, for example, a lot of fat jokes, a lot of beer jokes, a lot of, you know, fart jokes, whatever. Yeah. You know, yeah, it's considered to be, I think, low brow humor or like, you know, but I don't know. I personally think it's probably pretty hard to week after week come up with a storyline that the entire country can agree on.
That everyone can relate to. You're like, that something that everyone
can relate to. How, after year, show after show, that would be so challenging to do.
Yeah. I mean, I think like I love Friends and I can always watch it. If it's on, I'm like, yeah, I'll throw it on. Like watching that those shows, like, if I'm on a sitcom, I want to be on a sitcom that's not based in 2015 or 2016 because, like, I'm so tired of cell phones and iPads. And I love that we have access to this kind of stuff. But, like, I want to be on a show like That 70s Show where you don't have to, like, rely on that. Because, like, you think about movies
those
and TV shows.
Those gags instead of the person-to-person relationships.
Yeah. Like, you know, like, watching Friends the other episode was you got to get to the airport. Rachel's about to leave. And he goes to, like, LaGuardia instead of Newark or whatever. Like, and, like, you could have called her on her cell phone. But you know what I mean? Like, now, like, we're talking about movies that can't happen now. Like, Home Alone, like, couldn't happen now. You know what I mean? Like,
No,
not that it could happen in 1990, whatever. But you know what I mean? Like, certain movies are like, just call a cell phone. Like, he's got one. He's 12. He's got a cell phone.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Like, I want to be on a show that
doesn't necessarily rely on modern technology for the storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is something kind of sweet and nostalgic about that.
Mm-hmm.
About doing a show like that.
Yeah.
Like
I want to where's like Reality Bites as a sitcom?
that would be
a sitcom version
of Reality
Bites.
Of a bunch of like misanthropic hipsters with no cell phones and they just hang out. What do they hang out in? A record store.
Yeah. Like just listening to music and like talking about what movies I can't wait to see. Like, did you hear about Die Hard? And you're like, yeah, man, I can't wait for it. You know, like that. Cause I'm like,
that's funny.
Someone takes that idea and writes it. Just make sure I'm in it.
Yeah, exactly. So are you, while we're waiting for your sitcom to come along,
yes.
Are you still touring?
We're not touring. We haven't heard of any touring. You know, I feel like the cartoon came out last month in June and we've recorded 20 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
They've aired 13, I believe. A new one airs today, Wednesday, and then a new one Friday. Mm-hmm. So they're like rolling them out, and I think it's I've heard it's doing really well, which is great because I'd love to do more.
Yeah.
So tune in if you want more. You gotta tune in.
Everybody watch Band of Spies. How is that different from doing the live show? You just basically took that big Marina character and you went into the recording studio. And...
Yeah, and it's cool because we were all recorded together.
Yeah.
So instead of one person in the booth, all four of us plus Tom Kenny, who does Bo and Reed, and then like every other person in the show, he's like most of the villains. Tom Kenny is SpongeBob SquarePants, so working with him, he is amazing. I love him. Like, he is so He's so sweet. He's so kind and like so talented. Like
that's incredible to get on your first animated series to get to work with such a legendary like.
Oh,
animation.
I'm like I just stare. I'm like he's so good. And just steal, steal everything. Like teach me your ways. But yeah, so we're all five of us are in a booth and we're reading the script and it's like you know we get to run scenes and it's good because it. Plays we play well off each other of course oh, we yeah. all know we've known each other for a long time. Going back to the improv group like you're already a family so doing the cartoon
you can probably feel that carries over into
it just felt natural like so and our show is very like the live action show is cartoony almost
it is
it was an easy switch,
it's a really fun show. I've watched it a few times with Chan and she'll just stare. I think when we had breakfast together like months ago but I don't she wasn't really aware yet then. I mean she was still just like
there were pancakes in front of her
there were pancakes
if she pancakes was like, were in front of my face I'd be like Robert Downey who
she's like who I'm eating but I think once she becomes more aware then I think once she meets you she'll be like mind blown.
Oh,
you
know fun.
It'll be like that sort of moment
with Fresh Beat like it's also pretty educational like
there's
that's what's
always
good.
Like a lovely like a nice little button of I learned something or you know
and
even
I think
if it's something simple
I think that's the creators did that for a reason because they had a 5-year-old at the time who was too old for Barney, but not old enough for, you know, Hannah Montana. So they were like, we need a show that incorporates music because
would you say
so
it's
important.
More like aimed to like preschool age kids?
The
or?
Live action. Definitely. I think like preschool to 5 and then the cartoon, like I think they aimed for that. But like, I think they're finding that it's like 9 and under, which is great.
Because then that gives it some longevity. For
And I also feel like the kids who were 4 when Fresh Beat was on television, now they're 7 and they like the Fresh Beat band. They're too old to watch the kids like the live action show, but the cartoon they can watch and you know laugh at with their little brothers and sisters.
Right.
So
and there's tons
cool
of reruns right now of the live action Fresh Beat band. I see it on all
I mean
the
if
time.
You have it on your DVR you'll get 2 episodes a day. I don't know what time but
and for the animated series then where is it just sort of airing sporadically right now? Or?
Yeah, I think it's at 7 p.m. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, it's at 7 p.m.
Oh, okay.
Which that's like a new model. It's summer, so they're like assuming kids are outside all day and then like hopefully back in like before dinner, I guess, at 7 p.m. And I think it's just Monday, Wednesday, Friday for new episodes, but it plays every day. Yeah. Then it was on Nickelodeon for a while. For a couple weeks, it was like Nickelodeon twice a day. So I just...
Because it airs on Nickelodeon and Nick Jr.
Correct. Yeah. So I think it's kind of one of those things, like if you have a DVR, like search it and just like press record. Like that's what we've been doing.
All things Fresh Beat.
All things Fresh Beat. Record it. But yeah, but as far as touring goes, like if they were to call us and be like, hey, cartoon's doing great. We want to do more touring. Like, are you guys down? I'd be like,
yes, please. Because you get to go to all these cool cities.
Oh,
and,
touring is so fun.
Plus, like, with some of your best friends and they're singing and dancing. I mean, that's
sounds it's exhausting.
Dreamy. Yeah.
It's really, really, really tiring. I mean, like, as far as like energy level goes, like, cartoon, super great, super easy.
Yeah.
Live action show. It's exhausting on shoot days because you can have like a 20-hour shoot day. Mm. Touring is 7 days a week on a bus. Oh. You know, like we do 2 shows a day sometimes. Like it is physically and mentally so exhausting, but like
so much
I miss
fun,
it.
Though.
Yeah, I'm like,
and are you
I
gone for
it.
Like a month at a time or like a few weeks at a time?
The first tour we were gone for 15 weeks. So
what?
4 and a half months.
Oh my God.
That's what's hard. That's what sucks. Like that's what's like. If we were to tour again, we'd be like, can we do like 3 weeks here and then like come home and then like maybe 3 weeks later, you know, like that's
break
how we should. Or like
little.
Do like weekend tours in big cities, like go to Dallas and Orlando and, you know, New York and Chicago, like versus, you know, small
markets. Do you perform here in L.A.?
We haven't since tour. We did it in February at, we did the Shrine this time around.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So if we did like big cities and did like, if we did a 3-week tour and did all those big cities, I think it'd be like perfect.
But that's a lot. That's a lot of time on a bus and to be away from your family.
Sorry, I bet that whistle was real loud.
That's right.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, being away from, you know, my husband and the house and my friends, like it's really that's what's really
and also
hard.
It kind of takes you out of the game for other acting opportunities.
It does. That's what's a bummer. Like we didn't get to tour in 2012 until the fall or 2013 until the fall, like so the whole year we were available to work, but you couldn't sign on for a project that would need you in the fall.
Yeah,
so it took us out like January to September.
Yeah.
So it was like you could do guest stars, you could do like a movie.
Oh, that's
but
good.
Like you couldn't get a pilot.
Commit to something. Oh,
yeah, because
yeah.
they're something like, well, more we're long-term. Gonna. Yeah. So that was it's hard to juggle. That's why I'm like, if we keep them short, we can.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything can happen. So.
Well, if anything, hopefully the animated series will take off and like continue to do well. And
I would
then
love that because it's actually so much fun.
Yeah.
And like there's new music like coming with fun. It too. So it's like.
Are you're releasing new music with it? Are they all new songs or do you do?
Yeah, there's like, I think there's like 12 or 13 new songs for the season.
Wow.
So it's like, you know, each episode has like a episode specific song, but sometimes, we have evergreen songs. So like Here We Go is an evergreen song. Great Day is an evergreen song. Something that can play in every single episode.
And
that
do you have
do
they release an album for you as well?
Yeah, we've have two albums out.
Oh, wow.
And I think we released one that they got released on tour, I think, while we were out and about, which is great. Now so we have enough new songs to do another one.
Yeah.
Which I would love to do. I just think it's smart.
Because yeah.
people like Twitter me and they're like, we really want to get Walk Like an Egyptian. And
yeah.
we can't find it anywhere. And I think it's on SoundCloud, but like you can't download it anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, also, legally, I guess.
Honestly, finding songs that's age appropriate for a preschooler is really difficult.
Really hard.
Because and they're learning to talk and they're learning to repeat. And she sings a lot with me now. Channing does. So like, I have to be a little more aware. Like, I can't listen to NWA in the car as much.
Well, yeah.
But, like, it's nice to find music that she can sing along to that's fun. And,
yeah.
You know,
and, it, you know.
But not, like, annoying.
I'm sure it annoys some parents. But most of the parents are like, thank God I can listen to your music.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't. Or, like, oh, my God, this song stuck in my head. And, like,
it's
I
like
really
real
like
music.
This song.
It's, like, you can hear the instruments.
And, oh, yeah. I mean, and the writers that they hired, you know, on this third season, too. Like, the creators of the show wrote all the songs for the first two seasons and
oh, wow.
a lot of the third season. But they went to pop writers and got, like, songwriters who write songs on the radio
that
like you know
so
and now they're like really catchy songs and I think that's why they toured so well too. I mean, they just sound cool
and the kids love it. I've seen the videos, the promo videos, whatever, for the tour, and the kids in the audience are just going bananas.
Yeah.
Like, love it. And the parents are having a good time. It just looks like so much fun.
It is fun because it's like it's a family's first concert. Like,
yeah,
when you know, you get a sitter for the kids when you have a date night and go to a dinner and a concert or whatever. But this is like everyone as a family, their first concert. And like,
aww,
the kids see their parents going crazy. And like, my favorite thing to see when we would come out on stage for the first time is having a parent videoing us and then slowly move to their kid's face, like, and you see it, we can see
to
everything
see
on
their
stage
reaction.
And like they're getting their reactions and their little mouths are just like, their jaws are just dropped. It's so cute.
Oh,
you're
I
like
love that.
Oh my God. And then like you can search those videos. Oh, there's like a tagline, like people like hashtagging it, so you can actually see like that
first
look or whatever. Like, it is so cute. Like, kids are just like, minds blown.
That is so fun.
It's pretty cute.
Oh, yeah. I love that. Well, I hope that you do get to tour again, but in moderation.
In moderation, yeah.
All right, everybody. So thank you for being on.
Absolutely.
I'm going to wrap it up. I want to remind everyone, please check out Fresh Beat Band of Spies, the animated series. And I know you will see the Fresh Beat Band live action series.
Yeah.
I guess you call it live action now because it was just
Fresh
Beat Band before. So now to differentiate the two, definitely go on Nickelodeon, Nick Jr. Check those shows out and support my friend Tara. And if you see that she's got a concert coming or another tour coming, definitely go there.
Come check it out.
So yeah, everybody check out Tara's show. Also, don't forget to go to motherhoodinhollywood.com where I will be posting some fun notes about our show and then some more information about Tara. And also follow me on Twitter at MIH Podcast, and also search for us on Facebook, Motherhood in Hollywood, if you will please, and go on iTunes. Don't forget to review the show because that's how you get entered to win the giveaway that we're going to be doing. We're doing a Motherhood in Hollywood tote bag as well as an Honest Company bath time bundle. So you guys want to make sure you review the show in order to get in on that. And thank you so much for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next week. Balls.